tide. These four tides may be seen as stages of your life. The cyclic nature of life is reflected in your relationships and careers and what you learn as you grow. You can imagine it as a spiral. The energies of seasonal tides give the Green Witch opportunities to look inside herself and see all nature reflected in miniature there. Celebrating the solstices and equinoxes. In your personal practice, it is better to observe how you feel for a year and base your own festivals on those observations than it is to consult a book, find out that it is the fall equinox, read that it is associated with endings and harvests, and celebrate accordingly. What if you think of fall as a beginning? While celebrating the age-old associations can be positive, in that it nurtures a sense of unity with your ancestors and with the earth, it can also be counterintuitive if it does not coincide with the energies of your geographic locale. A green witch seeks to honor the energies to which she is seeking to attune herself. Green witchcraft is about being hands-on, about nurturing and developing our relationship with the natural world around us. The green witch makes her own tools and grows and harvests her own herbs. By directly interacting with the natural sequence of seasons, you create a larger practice. By understanding how the year ebbs and flows, you gain a deeper understanding of how life itself weaves, unravels, and reweaves the web of life. So how do you celebrate a solstice or an equinox? There is no right or wrong way. There are no formal traditions that must be marked, no rituals that must be enacted. Every green witch creates her own tradition, her own expression of the seasons and how they change. That unique expression will reflect how the season affects her spirit, her heart, and her body. The most basic way to celebrate the solstices and equinoxes involves allowing yourself to interact with the natural environment around you. Spend the day outdoors. Go for a walk through your neighborhood and look at how things are changing. If you prefer, you can celebrate indoors. Gather seasonal greenery and decorate your home. While some green witches believe that nature's bounty should be left outdoors and appreciated in its place and not be harvested for something as minor as decorating, others advocate using flowers and greenery as they are available, and always with a sense of harmony, responsibility, and fair use. Meditations for every season. Meditating at each seasonal shift is one of the most direct ways of experiencing the energy of the natural world and tracing your own response to its ebb and flow throughout the year. Use the following seasonal meditation outline as the basis for your meditations. Appropriate seasonal variations, as listed in the section on each season, are given. Using a consistent meditation with only these small variations lets you easily sense the minor differences that come out of the meditation that you might otherwise miss if you followed a different sequence each time. Seasonal meditation base. Ideally, this meditation should be done outside, in your garden, in a private and secure spot in a public park, even on your balcony or your patio. If you have access to forests or fields, these two make ideal places in which to encounter and attune to the energy of spring. If you choose to meditate in a public place, make sure that you are comfortable and feel safe enough to allow yourself the freedom to meditate. If you are concerned about others interfering, go somewhere else or do the meditation in your home. 1. Settle yourself comfortably and close your eyes. Visualize a fine green mist rising from the ground and radiating out from all the growing things around you. 2. Take 3 slow, deep breaths. Each time you inhale, visualize that mist of verdant green energy flowing into your lungs and spreading through your body, bringing with it the feeling of comfort and relaxation, of oneness with your surroundings. As you exhale, release any tension, stress, or worry you may be feeling. 3. Allow your personal energy to expand slightly so that it merges with the natural green energy around you. Direct your awareness downward into the soil. Allow it to sink deep into the earth, slowly and gently. Do not force your energy, but let it sink and sift through the particles of earth. When you feel comfortable, stop and feel the energy of the soil around you cradling you, enfolding you. 4. Insert the appropriate seasonal visualization here. 5. When you feel it is time to return to normal consciousness, offer the soil around your awareness a small gift of gratitude. Emotion is energy, after all. Then allow your awareness to slowly rise up through the soil to return to your physical body. After spending time within the earth like this, you will probably be so relaxed that slow movement will be natural to you. Make sure that you take the time to return thoroughly. Do not simply snap yourself back, or you will be disoriented and your personal energy will be unbalanced. 6. Once your awareness has returned, ground yourself, see Chapter 3, and take 3 deep breaths. 7. Open your eyes and gently move your arms and legs to warm them up and to reaffirm your physical form. Stand up slowly and do a few gentle stretches to loosen up your muscles. Write a summary of your experience in your Greenwich journal. How did it feel to interact with the earth at this season? Did the interaction teach you anything new? Did you learn anything new about your geographic location? Did you pick up any insight from the experience? Write down your thoughts and questions, any visions you may have had or new understandings you may have come to. Make notes on how you feel as this season begins, what the energy of the location you chose felt like. Remember to note the weather, too. In future years, you can make reading notes in your witch's journal the beginning of your seasonal celebration. Compare how you feel now to how you felt in previous years. What are the similarities? What are the differences? The vernal equinox. The movement of the seasons is a never-ending cycle. Although in reality there is no place that we can firmly point to as the beginning of the seasonal cycle, spring is often seen as the first season in the sequence. This comes from the fact that earlier calendars began the year in the spring. Spring is also traditionally associated with new beginnings, sowing, childhood, and young things in general. Spring is a time of potential, a time for planning and planting, and a time for making wishes about what you want the future to hold. The vernal equinox can be likened to the dawn of the day. New light emerges, touching the landscape with a gentle glow, and life brims with wonderful possibilities simply waiting to be realized. The vernal equinox takes place at the moment when night and day are of equal length for the first time after the winter solstice. From this moment on, the sun will be in the sky for a few more minutes every day, and nights will slowly become shorter. Spring meditation. Perform this meditation on or around the spring equinox. If the day of the official equinox doesn't work for you, try it around the time of year when there are many new things emerging in the natural environment where you live. Begin the meditation as outlined in the seasonal meditation structure. Once you have reached a place of comfort deep inside the earth, breathe in that energy and feel it fill your body. Feel the soil's energy at this time of the spring equinox. Feel the potential that vibrates in the earth. Reach out and sense the first movements of roots and seeds where they curl in safety, absorbing the soil's energy and using it to nourish their own life force, growing stronger in their sleep. Sense the slow awakening of these roots and seeds, and think about the potential they hold and the luxurious life they will soon display. Remain cradled by the energy of the soil as long as you like, enjoying the feeling of potential and the first stirrings of life. Finish the meditation as outlined in the seasonal meditation structure. The summer solstice. The summer solstice, or midsummer, marks the moment when the sun is at its highest. It is the day when the sun spends the most hours above the horizon. Traditionally, this day is associated with expansion and great energy. The summer solstice marks the beginning of summer, a period in today's busy world that we nostalgically associate with play and relaxation and summer vacations. Conversely, it is also associated with hard work, for in the agricultural cycle, the fields must be tended. Crops continue to mature quickly and with great strength, and can easily grow out of hand. Summer meditation. Perform this meditation on or around the summer solstice, or whenever you sense summer has arrived where you live. If this doesn't work for you, Try it around another time of year when things are in the middle of a period of growth and expansion. Begin the meditation as outlined in the previous seasonal meditation structure. Once you have reached a place of comfort deep inside the earth, breathe that energy in and feel it fill your body. Feel the soil's energy at this time of the summer solstice. Feel the energy of nourishment and growth that vibrates in the earth. Sense the expansion, the throb of life as it flows through roots and stems. Explore the interactive system of minerals, nutrients, water, and fertile decomposed vegetable matter that feeds the new generation of plant life. Sense the feeling of vitality, of life, of expansion and increase, of reaching up and opening out, the flow of passionate and joyful creation that pulses through the land. Remain cradled by the energy of the soil as long as you like, enjoying the feeling of vitality and fertile life around you. Finish the meditation as outlined in the seasonal meditation structure. The autumnal equinox. As at the vernal equinox, the minutes of day and night are precisely equal at the moment of autumnal equinox. From the summer solstice, the minutes of daylight have slowly decreased and the minutes of night have increased. Fall is traditionally associated with harvest and thanksgiving for the bounty of the earth, which has been tended from even before plants began to grow. Fall also incorporates themes of sacrifice, loss, and gentle regret, for the precious days of summer have passed and winter now approaches. Autumn is a time of weighing. What is necessary to keep? What can be left behind as the cycle passes to a time of scarcity? Fall meditation. Perform this meditation on or around the autumnal equinox, or whenever you sense that fall has arrived where you live. If this doesn't work for you, try it around the time of year when things are in the middle of a period of fulfillment and harvest and nearing the end of their cycle. Begin the meditation as outlined in the seasonal meditation structure. Once you have reached a place of comfort deep inside the earth, breathe that energy in and feel it fill your body. Feel the soil's energy at this time of the autumnal equinox. Feel the energy of completion and contentment that vibrates in the earth. Reach out and sense the fullness, the feeling of achievement as it flows through roots and stems. Explore the gentle, slower movement of energy throughout the soil and the roots of plants as the cycle of producing fruit and seed comes to an end on the surface of the earth. Sense the feelings of contentment, of life, of pleasure and satisfaction, of appreciation and offering that pulse through the land. Remain cradled by the energy of the soil as long as you like, enjoying the feeling of plenty and serenity around you. Finish the meditation as outlined in the seasonal meditation structure. The winter solstice. The winter solstice is the shortest day of the year, when the sun's height is the lowest that it is all year. Although the hours of night outnumber the hours of daylight, from this moment on, the sun begins to regain its lost time. Winter in the life cycle is traditionally associated with apparent death, which is necessary to enable the rebirth associated with spring. Without death, there can be no new life. Winter meditation. Perform this meditation on or around the winter solstice, or whenever you sense that winter has arrived where you live. If this doesn't work for you, try it around the time of year when things have reached a point of rest, of apparent death or cessation of motion. Begin the meditation as outlined in the previous seasonal meditation structure. Once you have reached a place of comfort deep inside the earth, breathe that energy in and feel it fill your body. Feel the soil's energy at this time of the winter solstice. Feel the energy of quiet and stillness that permeates the earth. Reach out and sense the darkness, the feeling of slowness as it flows through roots and stems. Explore the barely perceptible movement of energy throughout the soil and roots as the world above lies sleeping. Sense the feelings of relaxation, of incubation, of dreams, and the breath of what may become that trickle through the land. Remain cradled by the energy of the soil as long as you like, enjoying the feeling of warm stillness and sleep around you. Finish the meditation as outlined in the seasonal meditation structure. performing seasonal rituals. Meditations are one method of interacting with the energy of the season. Rituals are another. Because green witchcraft is informal, whether to use the popular neo-pagan practice of creating a ritual circle to set the ritual site apart from the mundane world is up to the green witch herself. In occult traditions, the circle represents protection from negative forces that could interfere in your work. In the green witch's practice, however, we do not require protection, for everything is part of nature. Instead, those who choose to use a circle use it to designate an area of purity in which to work, a sacred place set apart for the ritual. If you choose to delineate your ritual area in this fashion, you may simply walk the perimeter of your space with the intent of marking it. No further formal action, visualization, or words are required. Spring Equinox Egg Ritual for Welcoming Creative Energy into Your Life. This ritual is designed to gather up some of the abundant, fertile energy of nature in the springtime and direct it toward an area of your life where you could use a shot of productive, creative energy. This spell appeals to the spring maiden and the youthful sun for their blessings and energy. I have deliberately used symbolic figures in this ritual so that you can visualize them as you desire. Because green witchcraft does not worship any specific deities, you are free to invoke deity energy as you see fit and according to your religion of choice. In this and other rituals, if you wish to appeal to a deity whom you worship on a regular basis, then by all means substitute that god or goddess. Before beginning this spell, color your uncooked egg according to your personal color associations. For example, if the area of your life which requires energy is career-related, you might color the egg brown or orange. If it is related to romance, you may wish to color the egg red or pink. Perform this ritual in your home at your altar, or wherever you feel comfortable. You will need matches or lighter, one small pale green candle, one uncooked egg colored according to your preference, pen, small piece of parchment, heat-proof dish. Then follow these steps. 1. Create sacred space however you prefer to do so. 2. Light the candle and take the egg into your hands. Say, Maiden Goddess of Spring, Light and Life, Youthful God of the Sun, Exuberant and Joyful, bless this egg and fill it with the power of spring, of life, of fertile and creative energy. May my life be energized. 3. Set the egg next to the candle. 4. Using the pen, write on the parchment the situation or area of your life to which you wish to direct the creative energy of spring. When you have finished writing, hold the paper between your hands and empower it with your need. 5. Carefully touch the corner of the paper to the candle flame until it catches fire. Drop it in the heat-proof dish and allow the paper to burn completely to ash. 6. Allow the candle to burn down completely. Let the egg rest beside the candle. 7. When the candle has gone out, take the egg and the bowl of ashes outdoors and dig a hole in the ground. Place the egg in the hole and sprinkle the ashes of the paper on top of it. Bury these carefully and with reverence. The energy of the egg and the earth will slowly begin to infuse the situation in your life that you ask to be energized. Summer Garden Blessing Ritual. Making flower chains is a wonderful way to combine play, work, and creativity. Take advantage of the abundant and luxurious energy of expansion and growth that manifests in the summertime to bless your garden with this ritual. Before you begin, select a place in your garden to serve as a place of offering. Gather the leaves and flowers you will be using from your garden or the wild, remembering to harvest responsibly. Do not buy them from a florist. If you wish, use your hand instead of the staff or wand. You will need wand or staff, stang, forked staff or stick, see chapter 2, 12 flowers, your choice. Wildflowers and weeds are fine, but make sure the stems are at least 4 inches long and do not select anything with toxic leaves. 12 leaves, your choice, as large as possible, with firm stems. Knife or scissors, optional. Pitcher, bowl, cup, or watering can full of water. Then follow these steps. 1. With the wand or staff in your hand, circle around or walk through your garden. Hold the wand or staff in front of you, its base close to the ground. Visualize the life energy as it rises up from the soil through the plant's roots to nourish the stems, leaves, flowers, and fruit. 2. Circle or walk through the garden a second time, still holding the wand or staff, but this time raised higher so that the tip reaches into the sky. Visualize the energy of the sun and the rain nourishing the plants from above. 3. Circle or walk through the garden a third and final time, now holding the wand or staff horizontally. Visualize the energy of each individual growing plant expanding to join with the other plants around it, forming the whole of your garden. 4. Lay down the wand or staff in front of your chosen place of offering. Take up the stang and insert the single end into the earth firmly so that the forked end stands upright and stable. 5. Sit or kneel in front of the stang and take up one of the flowers. Strip away any leaves or greenery along the stem and trim it to approximately 6 inches long. With your fingernail, or the knife or scissors if you prefer, make a small vertical slit in the stem about 1 to 2 inches below the petals. Don't make the slit too long. 1/2 inch ought to be enough. Do the same to the other 11 flowers. 6. Hold the first flower just below the petals. Pick up a second flower and carefully insert the end of the stem into the slit in the first flower. Carefully pull the stem of the second flower through the slit until the slit in the second stem has passed through the first stem slit. 7. Pick up a third flower and insert its stem into the slit on the second flower. Repeat until all 12 flowers have been assembled into a chain. 8. Gently hang the flower chain on the stang by laying each end over one of the branches so that the middle of the chain forms a gentle swag. If the chain is not long enough, simply hang it over the fork itself. 9. In each of the leaves, make a tiny slit in the stem of the leaf. 10. Take one leaf and hold it in your hand. Take a second and gently insert the stem into the slit of the first leaf. Pull the second stem through until the slit passes through the first slit. Continue with the remaining leaves until you have another chain. 11. Gently hang the leaf chain on the stang by laying each end over one of the branches so that it lies along the flower chain. If the leaf chain is not long enough, simply hang it over the fork or gently twine it around the flower chain. 12. Lay both your hands on the chains and say, Powers of wind and earth, powers of sun and rain, by tree and flower and leaf, with my hands and heart, I bless this garden with life and love. 13. Take up the pitcher or bowl of water and walk through your garden, gently sprinkling drops of the water throughout. Keep some water back. Return to the stang and pour the last of the water at its base where it has been thrust into the ground and say, I give thanks to the earth for its bounty, its protection, and its support. Blessed be the earth and those who walk upon it. 14. If you like, you can sit by the stang and meditate for a while, or simply enjoy being in your garden. You can also weed, work the soil, thin out some plants, or do whatever gardening needs to be done. Leave the chains on the stang for at least a day, or as long as you feel right in leaving them. Remove them when they have wilted, but do not throw them out. Add them to your compost pile. Autumn Equinox Harvest Ritual. This ritual honors the earth's produce and bounty, and allows you to participate in the season's energy by performing the essential harvesting action. You can harvest something from your own garden or something wild. If you have a lot to harvest, choose the first or the last item you plan to harvest for this ritual. The harvesting tool will depend on what you are harvesting. You will need sharp knife, secateurs, scissors or shears, small bottle or bowl of water. Then follow these steps. 1. Standing next to what you are harvesting, reach out with your hand and sense that plant's energy. Say, I honor you, Earth's child. I honor your growth, your flower, and now your fruit. I thank you for your energy. Blessed be, Earth's child. May I who harvest your fruit be blessed by the act. 2. With the harvesting tool, cut the fruit off the plant. Sense the energy of the plant when you have harvested its produce. Honor the difference you feel. 3. Pour the water at the base of the plant in thanks. Ice ritual for the winter solstice. This ritual is a physical reminder that spring will always follow winter. If you live in a region with no snow, make a batch of ice cubes prior to the ritual and use those. A metal bowl is recommended because it will best reflect the candle's flame, although it will grow very cold, so be aware of your fingers when you hold it. If it's wintry cold where you live, perform this ritual indoors. Otherwise, the ice and snow will not melt, and the point of the ritual will be lost. Perform this ritual in your home, at your altar, or wherever you feel comfortable. You will need bowl, preferably metal, ice cubes or chunks of ice and snow from outdoors, approximately 1 cup, candle, red, orange, or yellow in candle holder, matches or lighter. Then follow these steps. 1. Place the snow or ice cubes in the bowl and sit or kneel next to it. Light the candle and place it behind the bowl so that you can see the flame's reflection dancing in the ice or snow. 2. Say, as the season turns and the sun shines, I hail the light that returns to the land. Darkness ebbs, light again flows, and day by day the land will grow warm. Welcome again, bright sun. May your beams caress the land and transform ice to water, snow to rain, cold to warmth, and winter to spring again. 3. Allow the snow or ice to melt until it is water. Look at the reflection of the candle flame on the water in the bowl, and think about the warmth of the sun. Feel the energy of the snow as it melts, the energy of the flame as it emits light and heat. Observe the communication between the two. 4. When you are finished, pour the water outside at the base of a tree. Part 2. Walking the Green Path. Chapter 5. Live closely with the earth. The sources of the Green Witch's information, wisdom, and power are the different aspects of nature and the natural system, the luminaries in the sky above, the plant world, the mineral world. Using the bounty of nature in a personal, spiritual practice offers the reward of knowledge and insight acquired through experience. This chapter looks at how the Green Witch uses the various elements of nature, including the sun and moon, trees, stones, flowers, and herbs. A Green Witch interacts with nature itself to receive the full benefit of its teachings. Reading about nature, watching television documentaries, and listening to lectures may all be excellent ways to acquire knowledge, but firsthand experience of nature is always the best teacher. However, nothing comes free. There is always an exchange of energy. What do you exchange for this wisdom that you glean from nature? Your dedication to your work. Your willingness to work to heal the earth and its creatures, including humankind, and to restore harmony between them. Your willingness to pass your knowledge on to others. The sun, the moon, and the stars. The sun, the moon, and the stars have long been looked to for power and aid. Wicca, one of the most prevalent forms of modern nature worship, places great emphasis on working with the phases and energy of the moon. The Green Witch knows that while seeds may be sown according to lunar phases, and that they sprout and are nurtured in the dark, they also grow and thrive thanks to the warmth and energy of the sun. The sun enables life to thrive on this planet. It provides heat and light and nourishes you on a very basic level. You depend on the sun for your life. Very often, however, we take the sun for granted, or note its existence only in connection with the weather. However, the Green Witch who lives in an urban setting can always connect with the sun, even if there isn't a scrap of green space around. In the Western occult tradition, the sun is usually associated with power, success, prosperity, health, joy, family, creativity, growth, and expansion. Solar energy changes throughout the day. The energy of the early morning sun, for example, is not the same as the energy of high noon, nor of late afternoon. Dawn and sunset have completely different energies. Generally, the four key solar points, dawn, noon, sunset, and midnight, correspond to the stages of life as seen in the four seasons, birth, maturity, old age, and death. Do not, however, let this stop you from working with the sun all day long. There are other factors that you can take into account, and your own instinct is more immediately pertinent to your own work than traditional associations. If you feel drawn to using solar energy at sunset to launch a new project, then by all means do it. Solar energy can also be affected by where the sun is in the Earth's orbit. As the Earth moves, 12 different constellations of stars pass above you, and the sun appears to move through them. Depending on which constellation is highest at a given time, the sun is said to be in that constellation. For example, the sun moves into the constellation of Cancer, the Crab, on the summer solstice. These constellations, of course, make up our astrological zodiac, which is a method of divination that uses the position of stars and luminaries to determine hidden information and influences. When the sun is in each constellation, that constellation's associated energy is said to add a slightly different spin to the basic solar energy. Zodiac energy correspondences. Aries, the ram, action, new beginnings. Taurus, the bull, manifestation, material things, physical comfort. Gemini, the twins, communication, intellectual work. Cancer, the crab, family, nurturing, the home. Leo, the lion, success, luxury, leadership. Virgo, the virgin, practicality, organization. Libra, the scales, society, people. Scorpio, the scorpion, passion, justice. Sagittarius, the centaur archer, study, exploration. Capricorn, the goat, business, foundation. Aquarius, the water bearer, invention, innovation. Pisces, the fish, spirituality, mysticism. At different times of the year, stellar influences add a dash of flavor to solar energy. Each period of the zodiac lasts approximately 30 days, and the sun transits into the next constellation on or around the 21st of each month. Appropriately enough, in astrology, these are called sun signs. The moon also appears to pass through these constellations, spending approximately a day and a half in each, and lunar energy is similarly affected by the stellar energy. In this instance, they are called moon signs. Meeting the sun. The most basic way to experience the sun's energy is to go outside and stand or sit in the sun. Be careful, however. Do not look directly into the sun and be sure to protect yourself from sunburn by wearing protective clothing and or sunscreen of an adequately high SPF. To receive solar energy, settle yourself comfortably in a sunny spot and close your eyes. Visualize a fine green mist rising from the ground and from all the growing things around you. Take 3 slow, deep breaths. Each time you inhale, visualize that mist of verdant green energy flowing into your lungs and spreading through your body, bringing with it the feeling of comfort and relaxation, of oneness with your surroundings. As you exhale, release any tension, stress, or worry you may be feeling. Open your awareness to the warmth of the sunlight. Just receive it. Let it in. Absorb whatever energy it offers to you. How does it feel physically? Emotionally, spiritually, does the sunlight have a message for you? Take as long as you wish to commune with the sun and its energy. When you are finished, take a final 3 deep breaths and open your eyes. Be sure to stretch and shake out your arms and legs before standing up or moving suddenly. In your Greenwich journal, write a summary of your experience. How did it feel to touch the energy of the sun? Did you pick up any insight from the experience? Write down your thoughts and questions, any visions you may have had, and any sudden understandings you may have come to. To achieve further insight into the sun's energy and how it changes, here are exercises for exploring and attuning to solar energy. For one day, pause for at least 5 minutes at dawn, noon, sunset, and midnight to observe the movement and feeling of the energy where you live. Write your observations and experiences in your Greenwich journal and compare the different energies of the key solar points of the day. For one day, meditate at each key solar time. Open yourself to the sun's energy and sense it as directly as possible. Be aware of what happens. Make notes in your journal after each meditation. Wait a day, then compare how you felt or the information you received after each meditation. For one day, perform the same basic ritual at each key solar time. Write down your experiences and feelings after each ritual. Wait a day and compare similarities and differences in the four rituals. For a deeper exploration, do the same exercises once during each season. How does the sun's energy change over the cycle of a day? During the year? The moon. The moon is usually associated with the hidden, more mysterious practices of witchcraft. Lunar mysteries have their place in the life of the Green Witch, who knows that ordinary life itself is a sacred mystery. Traditionally, the moon's energy is associated with feminine power, dreams, psychic ability, mystery and hidden knowledge, travel, children, spirituality, mysticism, the seas and oceans, and transformation. The phases of the moon are important in agricultural practice. Sowing and harvesting were once done according to the phases of the moon, and depending on the individual, sometimes still are. Scientifically, this may have something to do with the moon's proven influence on water and other fluids. Plants are composed of a large amount of water, which implies that their life cycle would be affected by the moon's phases. These basic rules may be applied to gardening during the phases of the moon. In general, plant things whose strength lies above ground while the moon is waxing, and those whose strength lies below ground while the moon is waning. New to first quarter. Plant leafy annuals and herbs. First quarter to full. Plant flowering annuals, above ground vegetables and fruit, and vines. Full to third quarter. Plant perennials, root vegetables, and bulbs. Third quarter to dark. Weed, maintain, cultivate, and fight pests and disease. If you pay attention to the phases of the moon, you can also determine good times to perform both spiritual and secular actions in your garden. The following phases correspond to phases in the life cycle of a plant. New moon, seeds. Crescent moon, shoots and sprouts. Waxing moon, growth and flowering. Full moon, fruit. Waning moon, harvest. Dark moon, cutting down a dead plant to prepare for new growth. The moon appears to move through the constellations just as the sun does, and moon signs are also said to have an effect on the work you do in your garden. Some signs are more favorable for certain kinds of work than others. The moon appears to pass through all 12 constellations in approximately 28 days and spends a day and a half to 3 days in each sign. Plant. Moon in Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces. Harvest. Moon in Aries, Gemini, and Leo. Cultivate. Moon in Virgo, Sagittarius, and Capricorn. Any green witch interested in how the plant world responds to the lunar cycle should keep a farmer's almanac handy. Meeting the moon. To explore the moon's energy, do the exercises for meeting the sun, but at night. Make notes of your experiences. Try these variations on the exercise to further explore lunar energy and deepen your attunement. Perform this exercise at the same hour of the night, 4 times during one lunar cycle, during the waxing phase, at the full moon, during the waning phase, and at the dark moon. Make notes of your feelings and experiences in your journal. How does the lunar energy change during the cycle? Perform this exercise on the full moon for all 13 moons in the calendar year. How does the lunar energy change as the seasons shift? Working with green energy. A large part of the Green Witch's path consists of using the natural energies contained within plants and trees to attain a certain goal, be it medicinal or magical. Those who follow a path linked to natural magic have long known that we can weave these energies into our everyday life to harmonize ourselves or others with the energy flow of the world around us. Training yourself to work with these energies takes more than memorizing a list of correspondences. As always, hands-on experience is the best way to learn how you work most effectively. Interacting with a plant while it is still growing and interacting with its energies after it has been harvested will give you a good idea of what this plant can be used for and to what applications its energy is best suited. Books on herbs, flowering plants, indoor and outdoor plants, and trees can be useful as references and general guides. But ultimately, your energy readings and your instinct will determine how you can best use the energies of the natural world. Please note that I am referring to the magical application of these items, not medicinal applications. To become competent in herbal medicine, you must take accredited courses in medicinal herbalism and/or work responsibly with a reliable book. The first thing you need is at least one good handbook on the native flora where you live. This isn't a book on the magical or medicinal applications, but simply a guidebook to identifying the plants and trees. Before you begin to work with plants, you should know the basic rules of wildcrafting. Wildcrafting is the harvesting of plant matter from the wild, as opposed to harvesting cultivated plants. Why wildcraft? Because there are some plants you can't grow in a garden. They defy the cultivator's hand. In addition, few green witches are able today to plant every single herb, tree, flower, or shrub they wish to use in their practice. The basic rules for ethical wildcrafting are as follows. Never harvest all of anything. In fact, don't even harvest half of it. A good rule is to harvest only a quarter of what you see, as long as there is plenty of it, and it is growing abundantly, and then only if you absolutely need it. It's better to go back for more fresh material than to be stuck with a huge pile of dried herb you harvested just in case. You will probably throw it out. Don't waste it. Remember that harvesting wild plant matter can very easily lead to trespassing on someone else's land. Look for signs. When in doubt, ask. Picking protected plants is illegal. Make a point of familiarizing yourself with the local laws on harvesting wild flora. Find out what the protected species of your area are and help protect them. Think clearly at all times. If you travel to harvest wild plants, research the specific region you are traveling to. Know the roads and paths, the dangers and the safe areas. Make an itinerary and stick to it. If you're going into a forest or into some uncharted land, tell someone where you are going and give them a copy of your itinerary. Carry a phone to call for help if necessary. Keep track of time. Bring a compass. Wear sturdy walking shoes and appropriate clothing. Carry nutritious snacks and plenty of water. When you know what plants are native to your area, you can better engage in wildcrafting and further explore your connection to the natural energies where you live. In the following sections, you'll find a set of common correspondences for various natural energies. I've chosen to classify plant matter as trees, flowers, and herbs. At the end of the chapter, there is also a reference for stones, as these are also of the earth. Important. Although I occasionally include traditional medicinal herbal lore as additional information, if you are interested in using herbs as medical or therapeutic supplements, you must refer to a reliable medicinal guide. Both John Lust's The Herb Book and Christopher Hobbs's Herbal Remedies for Dummies are good resources. The magic of trees. Trees are the pillars of our world. They anchor our ground and seem to hold up the sky. They form the backbone of the Green Witch's practice. While we tend to focus on herbs, we also work with wood, often when something more physically stable or permanent is required. The Green Witch's staff and stang, for example, are made of wood, as is the more traditional witch's tool, the wand. Sticks and twigs form the basis of many protective amulets, as do rounds cut from the cross-section of branches and inscribed with symbols. Trees also have many practical uses, such as supporting plants and serving as natural fences. Wood is also used to build homes and furniture. Following are 16 trees of use to the Green Witch, plus some associated lore. These trees grow in various areas of North America. The parts of trees used include bark, leaves, and inner wood. Birch, Betula species. The traditional witch's broom is made of birch twigs. Magically, birch is associated with cleansing, protection, and purification. It is also associated with children. Cradles were often made of birch wood. Oak, Quercus robur. Oak is one of those traditional woods that are firmly entrenched in folklore. It is magically associated with defense, thunder, strength, courage, healing, longevity, protection, and good fortune. Because the wood is very strong and durable and possesses a certain reputation for indestructibility, oak has been used in home construction and in shipbuilding. The bark is used to tan leather and as a dye. Acorns, the fruit of the oak tree, are symbols of fertility. When found growing in oak trees, mistletoe was considered to be particularly potent by the druids and important in their magical work. Maple, Acer species. Maple is another popular tree used for cabinetry and by artisans. It is also a source of dye and maple sugar. Magically, maple is used for love, prosperity, life and health, and general abundance. Pine, Pinus species. Commonly used in building and construction, the pine is one of the most widely found trees in North America. Its resin is used for the creation of turpentine and soaps, and the production of rosin. Amber, one of the most beloved gems for magical jewelry, is fossilized pine sap. Pine oil, another product of the pine tree, is commonly added to household cleansing products, proof that the scent is associated with a sense of purification. Magically, pine is used for cleansing and purification, healing, clarity of mind, prosperity, and protection from evil. Cedar, Thuja occidentalis, white cedar, Cupressus newticetensis, yellow cedar, Juniperus virginiana, red cedar. Another precious wood that is recognized by many cultures as magical and powerful, cedar has been known throughout the ages for its protective qualities, as well as its ability to repel insects and pests. With its aromatic scent, cedar was often given as an offering. Yellow cedar, found in North America, grows in a roughly conical shape and is often used in hedges. The other kind of cedar found in North America is the red cedar, Juniperus virginiana. Magically, cedar is associated with healing, spirituality, purification, protection, prosperity, and harmony. Rowan, Pyrus aucuparia, Sorbus aucuparia. Rowan is also known as quicken, hornbeam, witchwood, and mountain ash. Although it is technically not a true ash, it is so called due to the similarity of the leaves. Rowan berries have been used in brewing, and the bark has been used for tanning and as a dye. Curiously, rowan is said to be either a favorite of witches and fairies or anathema to them. Magical associations include improving psychic powers, divination, healing, protection from evil, peace, creativity, success, and change and transformation. Poplar, Populus species. Also known as aspen, poplar's magical associations include prosperity, communication, exorcism, and purification. Ash, Fraxinus excelsior. Ash is one of the trees considered by some European cultures to be the world tree. Magically, ash is associated with water, strength, intellect, willpower, protection, justice, balance and harmony, skill, travel, weather, and wisdom. Willow, Salix alba. The white willow, also known as the weeping willow, has long, flexible branches that are woven into what we know as wickerwork. Long associated with the moon, the willow has a great affinity for water and is often found growing near it. In folklore, the willow is associated with the goddess and feminine cycles. Thanks to the ability of cuttings to easily and quickly recover from trauma, willow is also associated with growth and renewal. Magical associations of willow include love, tranquility, harmony, protection, and healing. Witch hazel, Hamamelis virginiana. Also known as snapping hazelnut, for the spontaneous cracking open of its seed pods, witch hazel has long been used as a poultice for bruises and swellings. Witch hazel extracts are used for their astringent properties. Magical associations include protection, healing, and peace. Honeysuckle, Lonicera caprifolium, Lonicera periclimenum. Also known as woodbine or hedge tree, the honeysuckle is associated with liminal or transitional states. The scent of honeysuckle flowers is strongest in the evening. Magical associations include psychic awareness, harmony, healing, prosperity, and happiness. Apple, Pyrus malus. Apple trees are found all over the Northern Hemisphere. Their widespread availability and fertile abundance bring to mind their association with life, longevity, and fertility. The fruit is used in cooking, baking, and brewing. Folklore associates the apple with the afterlife, fairies, creativity, and the other world. Magically, apples and apple trees are associated with love, healing, harmony, and longevity. Elder, Sambucus canadensis, Sambucus nigra. Elder is also known as witchwood. It is said that bad luck will fall upon anyone who does not ask the tree's permission 3 times before harvesting any part of it. Folklore associates the elder with the crone aspect of the goddess and with witches, and thus elder wood is rarely used to make furniture or as firewood for fear of incurring their wrath. Medicinally, elder bark is used as a diuretic, purgative, and emetic. The berries are used as a laxative and diuretic, and also induce perspiration, and the leaves are used as an external emollient for irritated skin, sprains, and bruises. An infusion of elder flowers taken as a tea encourages the body to perspire, thus helping the body to work through a cold or illness, and also helps loosen chest and sinus congestion. Elderflower water makes an excellent topical application for irritated skin, including problems such as sunburn and acne, as well as an eye wash. Magically, elder wood is associated with protection, especially against being struck by lightning, prosperity, and healing. Yew, Taxus baccata. Yew is poisonous, which may be one of the reasons it is so closely associated with death. It is a European tree that figures largely in the lore of witchcraft and natural magic. The yew produces a very hard wood and was used where construction required an unyielding, inflexible structure. Magically, it is associated with spirits and the other world. Hawthorn, Cretaceous oxyacantha. Also known as may tree, mayflower, thorn, white thorn, and haw, the hawthorn shrub was often used as a boundary marker. In fact, haw is an old word for hedge. Hawthorn is a magical tree. If it grows together with an oak and ash tree, it is said that the fairy folk can be seen among the trees. Even where it grows alone, hawthorn is considered to be a fairy favorite. Like oak, the hawthorn produces hard wood and great heat when burned. Magical associations include fertility, harmony, happiness, the other world, and protection. Hazel, Corallus avellana. The hazel tree has long been associated in European folklore with wisdom. Gods and mythological figures associated with the hazel include Thor, Brigid, and Apollo. The nuts and branches are used for magic, and the hazel is associated with luck, fertility, protection, and wish-granting. Tree attunement exercise. Before you begin, refresh your memory on sensing energy techniques in Chapter 3. 1. Pick a tree. Stand next to it. Hold one hand about 1 inch away from the bark. Extend your awareness and feel the energy of the tree. After you've finished this exercise, make notes in your journal. 2. With the same tree, touch the bark. Explore how the tree feels to your hands. Bend close and smell the tree. Close your eyes and listen to the sounds the tree makes in response to the environment. Look closely at the tree and see the different textures, colors, and markings. If it has fruit and you know it to be safe, taste it. Make notes in your journal. 3. Conduct these exercises with different kinds of trees. Compare and contrast your experiences. 4. Do these exercises with different trees of the same genus. What are the similarities between the trees? What are the differences? Collecting and using wood. Some people have difficulty with the idea of cutting live wood away from a tree or bush because they don't know how to do it properly. When you use fresh wood, you capture a lot of life and energy, which may be exactly what you're looking for in your ritual work or any practice that will involve this wood. Deadfall is wood the tree has discarded as no longer useful. This may not be the kind of vibrant, living energy you're looking for. It depends on your personal view of working with the world of nature. If you cut fresh wood, you'll likely have to let it dry, as sap and juices can gum up your saw and sandpaper. So why use fresh wood? The answer is simple. Your magical intent is implemented as soon as you choose the tree from which you are going to cut some wood. By selecting the tree, you are presenting your request to the energy of the tree itself. As you cut, you're focusing on your goal. From the very first move, you're empowering it in conjunction with the tree, if it has agreed to donate its wood to your cause. How do you ask the tree for help? Put your hands on the tree and present your intention to it, speaking either aloud or in your mind. Think through why you need the wood, exactly how it will be used, and for what goal. All these thoughts and feelings will flow through your energy into the energy of the tree. Then wait. Trees often need a bit of time to absorb your request, for they function at a different rate than we do. Sometimes the tree will accept your request right away, though at other times you may not get a prompt sense of acceptance or denial. In that case, thank the tree for its time, and tell it you will return in a day or two. When you come back, place your hands on the tree again and reach out with your energy. Restate your need and wait for an answer. Sometimes all the tree needs is time. The tree won't tell you in words, of course, if it's all right to cut its branches. Instead, you'll gain a sense of peace or agreement. Or alternatively, you may get a sense of maybe this isn't such a good idea. In that case, thank the tree again for its time and consideration, wish it well, and find another tree to ask. Tap into the energies of flowers. Flowers are the pretty parts of plants that carry valuable and essential reproductive information. Technically, they constitute part of an herb, shrub, or tree, but they are separated here because we often think of the flower as the identifying aspect of a plant. Also, in natural magic, the flower itself is often the part used. Flowers can be dried whole to be used in wreaths or arrangements, or pressed and used in a magical collage or in potpourri. When dried, flowers can also be crumbled and used in herbal blends for such things as teas, sachets, and sprinkling powders. The flower of a plant carries a tidy bundle of energy, for it is the sexual organ of the plant, how the plant reproduces. Do dried flowers carry a different energy than fresh flowers do? Yes and no. The intrinsic energy remains, but its expression is different. For certain rituals or charms, you may want the vibrancy of fresh flowers, whereas for other charms, such as sachets or powders, you may prefer dried flowers, which tend to exhibit a slower, longer-lasting energy. Here are 19 flowers commonly found in a green witch's garden. They are also used magically. Carnation, Diantha species. Also known as gillyflower, the carnation has a wonderful healing energy and makes an excellent gift for the sick. Carnations are used magically for protection, strength, energy, luck, and healing. Daffodil, Narcissus species. Also known as